Because what happens to us is we feel like we need to tell God as if he didn't know. Like God asks us to do something and we go, but God, I'm a woman. He's like, I had no idea. I had no idea. But God, I'm 50 years old. And God's like, wow, yeah, I must have missed a birthday somewhere. I just had no idea. But God, I live here. But God, I've only got this level of education. I mean, we talk to God like he doesn't know. And then we sing worship songs like you are omnipotent, you are omniscient, you're omnipresent. But we don't really believe it because then we go, but God, didn't you know? You may feel like your best years are over or like you've missed an opportunity you'll never get back. But I'm here to tell you that there is no expiration date with God. So don't lose hope. Your best days are right in front of you because with God, all things are possible. I'm Christine Kane, and I have a personal mission to equip and empower people like you to connect with your God-given purpose and potential. I'm so glad you're joining us today. Get ready. Let's dive right in. That you have tuned in. You have tuned in at the right time. I know that God has a word for you today. We're talking about the fact that God's promises never run out. It is never too late to step up and into the promises of God for your life. You know, there's nothing worse than waking up in the morning wanting your breakfast cereal, and you go down, and for those of us that eat really healthy breakfast, like Cheerios, okay, so, and you get the milk, and you pour the milk on, and you get this sense that there's a smell. And then you look at the carton and the date is expired. I hate seeing that expiry date, especially if I was really looking forward to the milk. Well, recently I was driving and of course I was sticking to the speed limit. And I was right on the speed limit as I'm driving along. And then I thought I noticed in my rear vision mirror these lights that were flashing in a blue and a red kind of configuration. And I had to pull over, and it actually was not, I wasn't speeding, but the police officer wanted to check something and he asked me for my registration papers. So I opened up my glove box, I pulled out the registration papers, and then he started looking them and he said, Mrs. Kane, do you know that your registration has expired? These are old papers. I felt sick, and what happened was I had to rummage through a whole lot of stuff, and then I found the ones that were actually in date, and so he checked it, and there had been some confusion about the car, and he said, you know, you can go, Mrs. Kane, everything is fine. So I wasn't a criminal. Anyway, I want you all to know that. I really wasn't one, but the deal was, I remember at that moment when he said, your papers have expired, there's this feeling of just deflation and defeat when you think, this has expired, I'm in trouble, this is too late. Well, there was nothing worse than when, you know, we travel all the time for our ministry. Well, we went to the airport to go on an international trip and Nick pulled out his passport and had forgot to get his passport updated and his passport had expired. How many know you can't get on an airplane to go overseas when your passport has expired? Now, thankfully, he's got two passports, so he was able to use his other one. But when something has expired, it means it's over, it's finished. You're not getting on that airplane, you're not getting through security, you're not able to get to the destination that you thought you were going to get to. Well, for some of us, that's what it's like when it comes to the promises of God. We think it's too late, that promise has expired. I'm too old, I've messed up too much, I'm not connected to the right person, I'm not in the right environment, there is no way that this can happen, I don't have the right education, I don't have the right look. And so we think that maybe God spoke something into our hearts, he spoke something to us through his word, but we think that promise is expired and we feel a bit like Nick did initially when he went up to that check-in counter and they said, Mr. Kane, your passport's expired. You're not going to be able to get to your destination. And a lot of us think that God's promise has expired because of something we've done or somehow we forgot to renew it, and we think, I'm never going to get to that destination because the promise of God has been expired. But I'm here to tell you today that with God, nothing is impossible. That what is impossible with man is possible with God. With God, nothing is impossible. And all the promises of God are in Christ Jesus, yes and amen. I want to tell you on the other side of the screen, if God said it, God will do it. He who promised is faithful. No demon in hell, no person on earth can thwart the plan or the purpose of God for your life. God has an incredible plan, purpose, and destiny for you. And all the promises of God are in Christ Jesus, yes and amen. And so we're going to go to the book of Genesis, and I figure that if I read really quick, we could get to Revelation by the end of this television show. Don't freak out if you're on the other side of the screen thinking she's going to read the whole 66 books of the Bible. No, but one day I might. And so Genesis chapter 18, verse 1 to 15. I want to help you to see today that God comes to us in unexpected places at unexpected times, and He does unexpected things through unexpected people. And it's always been the plan and purpose of God to get a whole lot of glory through people that everybody thinks God could never use. God does things when people think it's too late. God does things when people think it's impossible, because impossible is where God starts. Miracles are what God does. The currency of heaven is faith and miracles. And so today, I think that some of you maybe have tuned in today, and there's some unexpected dreams and things that you've got in your heart that you think, is this ever going to happen? In fact, you've probably given up that it can ever happen. And today I want to speak life into your spirit. I want to speak hope into your spirit. And I want you to know that your God turns up in unexpected places at unexpected times, and He does unexpected things through unexpected people. So you are going to get your promise stirred up on the inside of you again. And I'm believing, God, that you're going to have faith to believe that He who promised is faithful. So Genesis chapter 18, and the Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat at the door of the tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree while I bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh yourselves. And after that, you may pass on, since you have come to your servant. So they said, do as you have said. And Abraham went quickly into the tent to Sarah and said, quick, three seahs of fine flour, knead it and make cakes. Only a chick could do that so quickly. It's like, hurry up, make that happen. And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man who prepared it quickly. I just want you to know that this is awesome. It means that both men and women can cook. Did you see that? Right there, it's there in Scripture. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, she is in the tent. The Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him, because that's what chicks do. We eavesdrop. Now, we just say that, you know, we're seeking the Lord, but I want you to know this is Bible code for eavesdropping. That's exactly what she was doing. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. Don't you love how the Bible just says that? It means, honey, her ovaries had dried up. That's what that is saying. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure? I think she wants us to know that this was written pre-Viagra days. She just wants us to know that it's right there. Someone, you've just tuned in and you're like, what is this? And stick with this series. You're going to love it. It's going to change your life. The Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. He said, no, but you did laugh. This always cracks me up because there's no point lying to God. You did, you laughed. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. No, you didn't. Yes, you did. Like, it's like, you know, God knows, just in case you were wondering. So here we have God sending three angels of the Lord appeared to remind Abraham of a promise God had spoken to him in Genesis chapter 12, verse 7, 24 years before. 24 years before, God had promised him that he would bless all the nations through his seed, that through his own offspring, he would bless the nations of the earth. Now, it was already impossible when God had given him the promise. At the time, Abram was already 75 years old, and Sarah was already 60 years old. Scripture tells us that Sarah was past the age of childbearing. That means, honey, it had all, like, it was done. You know, it was done. And I love that Scripture reminds us, God wants to put it in there that I want you to know that I know that they were both old and advanced in years. Remember when the text said that they were old and advanced in years? So God's saying, I know they were old. Because what happens to us is we feel like we need to tell God as if he didn't know. Like God asks us to do something and we go, but God, I'm a woman. He's like, I had no idea. I had no idea. But God, I'm 50 years old. And God's like, wow, yeah, I must have missed a birthday somewhere. I just had no idea. But God, I live here. But God, I've only got this level of education. I mean, we talk to God like he doesn't know. And then we sing worship songs like, you are omnipotent, you are omniscient, you're omnipresent. But we don't really believe it because then we go, but God, didn't you know? So out of one side of our mouth, we go, you're all-knowing. And on the other side of our mouth, we say, but God, I can't do this. And we put a whole lot of natural limitations on a supernatural God. Wow. And so what we do is we measure what we're able to do by what we're able to do when God says, I want you to look up at what I'm able to do. So yes, Sarah and Abraham, I know that you're old. I know that you are advanced in years. I know that in the natural, your biological clock has stopped ticking. I know that we are a couple of millenniums away before Viagra is invented. So I know that is going to happen. But the fact is that I'm able to do what no one can do. I'm able to do what can't be done scientifically. I'm able to do what can't be done mathematically. I'm able to do what can't be reasoned intellectually because I'm God. And my ways are so much higher than your ways. My thoughts are so much higher than your thoughts. I don't need your permission to be God. I'm God all by myself. No one voted me in and no one's going to vote me out. I am God and I create something out of nothing. It's what God does. It's a perk of his divinity. It's why you go, but I don't understand that. You don't need to understand it because God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond anything that we could ever ask, hope or think. We think if I can't see it, taste it, touch it, smell it, feel it or hear it, it doesn't exist. But God says, I operate in a whole different realm. I operate in a supernatural. Everything you can see, I made it. Everything you can smell, I made it. Nothing existed until I said it. It wasn't in existence until I spoke it. When I spoke it, it became. And so we need to trust a God that can make something out of nothing. And this is what God was saying to Abraham and Sarah. He knew that their bodies were old. He knew that they were past the age. I think God sometimes can't help himself. He waits until it's impossible. He just can't wait. It's like, I need to get it all out of the way until you get to a point where you utterly know if it's not God, it's never going to happen. It's got to be God. And faith is the currency of heaven. And God wants us to stir up our faith. There is a fight for our faith on the earth. Paul says to Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. A lot of us, we're fighting a lot of unnecessary fights. How about we get off all the unnecessary fights and we fight the one good fight, the eternal fight of faith. The enemy doesn't want your car, he doesn't drive. The enemy doesn't want your house, he couldn't be bothered. What he wants is your faith. And so what we have to do is continue to believe God and fight for faith. So What happened at this point, God says, I now know that this promise is impossible in the natural. There is no biological way that you're going to be able to conceive a child. You are way past the age of childbearing. So now that it's past the age, now that the expiry, you've come to the counter, Sarah, you've given your passport and you've been told, expired, can't happen. Like the accountant, like the woman standing behind the desk said to Nick, you can't get on that plane, Mr. Kane, because your passport has expired. This is how Sarah felt, that her passport to the promise of God had expired. At that point, God turns up and he says, oh no, we're going to do a miracle now. Now is when I'm going to turn up and I'm going to do the miraculous. And so at that point, I want you to know that God could do the same thing for you. I don't know, perhaps you've gotten a medical report and it says this diagnosis is terminal. It's incurable. There is no hope. I'm here to tell you that our God is a God who still heals today. That where man has said impossible, God can touch your body and bring healing. And I'm going to pray for you right now because I feel someone's on the other side of the screen and you're watching this and God's stopping this whole broadcast in this moment because he wants to touch your body. I want you to just put your hand on the part of your body where you have had a terminal diagnosis, where you've had a negative report from the doctor. And so, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you would touch those bodies right now in Jesus' name, that you would bring healing, Father. God, I pray for miracles, signs and wonders and miracles in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray that cancer would shrivel up and die in the name of Jesus. I pray that every sinew, every tissue, every muscle, every organ would return to full flourishing functioning in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you that you are the God that still heals us today. By your stripes, we are healed, and I speak your healing virtue over everybody in Jesus' name. Maybe you received a report and some of you don't know whether to clap or not. You can give the Lord a mighty ovation because people are being healed right now in Jesus' name. But maybe you received negative academic results and you think, I can't get into that course. I'm going to believe that God can make a way where there is no way. That there are, God is still the God that parts Red Seas. He still tears down Jericho walls. God specializes in the miraculous. He specializes in making things happen when it seems like it's impossible for those things to happen. Maybe you think, you know what, I don't have the right income, or I just come from a background of addiction and poverty. This thing can never be broken in my life. And I'm here to tell you today that God still does the miraculous, that God can break generational curses and bondages and shackles and chains, and your past does not need to define your future. You can step up and into the purposes of God. I'm believing for miracles in Jesus' name. You know, my life is a testimony to the impossible being made possible in God. Everything about my life. I'm the kid that was left in a hospital, unnamed and unwanted. I'm the kid that was sexually abused for 12 years, grew up in the third poorest zip code in my state. You know, girls like me don't normally end up doing what I'm doing. They end up either drug dependent maybe, or alcohol dependent, or two or three different kids to two or three different fathers, or maybe even confused about their gender identity, so broken, so fragmented, angry or full of unforgiveness or bitterness or shame or guilt or condemnation. But I am living proof that you can start bad and finish good in and through a relationship with Jesus Christ. I am living proof that God still does miracles today. I am living proof that your history does not need to define your destiny. I am living proof that God will take impossible situations, turn them around, work all things together for our good and for His glory, and give you an awesome future despite your past. It would be just like God to take an unnamed, unwanted, abused, adopted chick from the back of Sydney, Australia, redeem her life, turn her life around, open the prison doors for her, and then say, I'm now going to use you to rescue a generation of slaves through the work of A21 around the world. That is redemption, that is life, that is hope, and that is liberty. That's what our God does. Impossible is where God starts. Miracles are what God does, and I am living proof of that. People go, why are you so pumped up and fired up about this stuff, Christine? I am like, because I am living that dream. I am seeing that I was once the woman standing just like Sarah, full of doubt and fear and insecurity and maybe even cynicism and shame at the tent gate, listening to the conversation and laughing, going, oh, sure, as if that's going to happen. God, where were you when I was young? God, where were you when I was fertile? God, why didn't this happen when it was possible? And so a lot of us, we've become cynical, or we've become angry, or we've become frustrated, or we've become disappointed, or we've become disillusioned with the promise of God because it didn't happen within our time frame, because it didn't happen the way we thought it should happen. And we've confused the method with the outcome. And a lot of us haven't seen the outcome because we stepped out of the purpose of God because we thought, you know what, it's not going to happen, because we tried to reason it, we tried to rationalize it, we tried to fit God's ways in a box, and God says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are so much higher than your ways. My thoughts are so much higher than your thoughts. Don't try to box me in your methodology. Don't try to box me to do things according to the way you think I should do them, because I am God and I am so much bigger than you can even imagine. I need you to lift your eyes up. I need you to fix your eyes on me. Your miracle is not going to come through other people. Your miracle is not going to come through your own gift or talent or ability. Your miracle is not going to come through your resources. Your miracle is not going to come through your circumstances. Your miracle is going to come from God Himself. God alone is going to bring that miracle into your life, because He is a miracle working God. And so in this text, we've got Sarah at the gate, just outside the tent. And I wonder what your posture is as you're leaning into the promises of God. Are you at the tent? Are you at the tent with a spirit of faith? Or are you at the tent with a spirit of doubt, with a spirit of disappointment, with a spirit of disillusionment, with a spirit of discouragement, with a spirit of fear, with a spirit of maybe disappointment somewhere in your life? And you're leaning in and you're listening to the promise of God every time you open your Bible for your quiet time. Every time you go to church and listen to the word, are you filtering it through the lens of hope and faith? Or are you filtering that word through the lens of discouragement and defeat? How you filter that word of God and how you receive it will determine how potent that word is on the inside of you. And so as we finish part one of this series, we're left with Sarah at the gate, at the gate of the tent. Sarah is at the door of the tent, full of discouragement and disappointment, mocking the promise of God. But we're going to come back and we're going to find out how that posture is going to change from a posture of mocking to a posture of faith. And if you can change your posture, you will change your perspective. And when you change your perspective, you'll begin to receive the promises of God. They're all yes and amen in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus.